Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. Now, as we know, most of these men were fishermen by trade when Jesus called them. You can read about some of them in Mark 1 and Matthew 4, I think, is the other location. And they said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. It was typical at that time because of the heat of the day, and the fish would go way deep during the heat of the day. They would fish, the fishermen would fish all night, and they would bring their fish because they cast nets. So they had to be close to the surface or close enough to where they could get to them. So at night, they would come up from the depths and be accessible. So they would fish all night, the fishermen would, be gone from their families. And in the morning, they would bring their haul to the shore where they would divide it up and then take it and sell it. Or I assume a lot of people would come to that shore and purchase it, because when you read some of these stories and accounts of Jesus, he was teaching by the shore side. So people obviously would be there for him to teach to. But I think we do a disservice to Peter, and we call him, you know, running from God. And maybe he was doing a little of that. I don't know. It doesn't say in the Bible. We can only assume Peter was the one who denied him three times. But I read another commentary which said that he was biding time in between the appointment that God had told them. God had told them to meet him on the mountain on a certain day and a certain time, and they were just doing what they were doing. They were working. They were providing for themselves. They were catching fish. That's what they did for a living. So you can look at it a couple of different ways. But isn't it just like us? It's good to know two things about this. It's good to know that wherever and whatever we're doing, God is always present, even though sometimes we may not understand that he's there. It says, but when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. I find that quite interesting. These are men who spent about three and a half years with Jesus, learning, watching, eating, sleeping. You know, they lived with him day in and day out. And for some reason, they didn't recognize him. Isn't that just like us when we're going about doing things our own way and we don't see God? Oh, we're trying to fix things and do things our own way. And the other coin of that is sometimes God doesn't want you to see him. You can't see his working things out for your good because you are busy doing what you're supposed to be doing, your everyday mundane life that we live, whether it's working or child caring or, you know, caring for family members, whatever it is. Not every second of the day am I thinking about God. He is on my mind constantly. But I have work that I have to attend to. I have patients that I have to take care of when they see the doctor and come out. I have phone calls to take. I have my own family and things going on within my own family. So I'm not on my knees 24/7 thinking about God. Not that he's not always unconscious in my consciousness, but I thought it was interesting that they didn't recognize him. Now, I know he is resurrected, but he's already shown himself to the disciples twice. This is the third time, as we will read here in a moment. I want you to notice what Jesus says to them. He says, then Jesus says to them, children, have you any food? And I think that is so interesting that, and this is the first time that I can find, he called them children. He took a fatherly connotation with them. Children. And, you know, we are told, you know, that we are the sons and daughters of Christ, of God. And I thought it was interesting that he said, children. It brings it personal. It means you're mine. You're my family. I'm taking care of you. You are mine to take care of. Children. Not so much in a condescending manner, but he's like, do you have any food? Do you know how many times once my children left home that I've made that same comment? Baby, do you need anything? Do you need anything to eat? Do you need anything, you know, any supplies? My house was a house that they come after they left home and shopped at. I would leave extra stuff in the garage, you know, stuff that I couldn't store in the house. But I would come home and things would be missing out of the pantry, you know, out of the refrigerator. Definitely out downstairs, the extra paper towels and toilet paper and just, you know, the necessities of life. But that was what it was for. I would call them, you need anything? I got extra stuff in the garage. You know, just take what you need. Even them, they got a key to the house. They can come on in. They're my children. They have the keys to the kingdom as much as I have. But children, have you any food? That was one of the first times I ever saw that he called them children. That means you're mine. I am responsible for you. I will care for you. Children, have you any food? And then they respond back to him, no. They have been out there all night fishing, and they caught nothing. Have you ever felt like that in your life? You just keep going, and you just keep going day after day, and you're doing, and you're doing, and you're trying to live this righteous life as best you can, and you just feel like you're going nowhere, and you don't see anything good produce from it. Life is like that sometimes. Sometimes you can't see God working all things out for your good. Sometimes we focus just on the bad, the mundane, the day in, the day out, the stuff that's not pleasant, but it's a necessary thing for us to do. We have to work to provide for ourselves, for our families. We have to do these things. You know, I have to get up and clean the house. Who wants to live in a nasty house? Nobody does. I have four dogs and a cat. Man, it gets dirty quick. I'm constantly doing this and cleaning that and washing bedding and washing this. It's a never-ending cycle. And I'm like, gosh, when is this going to end, you know? But I look at the joy that I have and that they bring me. So, you know, it's okay. But they said no. And he does what he always does so best. He says to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find something. Do you have any food? Isn't that interesting? He even knew the movement of the ocean. He even knew that they had been casting on the other side of the boat. Had he been there all night? Probably he was. Watching, waiting. Cast your net on the right side of the boat. Sometimes God gives you directions and instructions, and they don't make sense in your head. And you're like, what? I heard a story one time about a gentleman, and God had told him to talk to this family. And I forget the word. He told him a word, and it was like spaghetti. He said, just tell him spaghetti. And I may have the wrong word, but... And this woman is, they're in a hospital, and she's sick, and he's going in to pray for her. And he says, I don't understand why God has me do this, but he says, to tell you spaghetti. And the lady breaks down, and she cries. And her husband is crying along with her, and he's like, I don't understand. Why is that so significant to you? Well, what he didn't understand, that they had lost a daughter. A month, so many months ago, and that was her favorite meal, was spaghetti. And it brought comfort to their heart. Sometimes what God tells you to do may not always make sense. Maybe you've worked and you've toiled and you've done all that you can do. And he says, well, try it this way. And you're like, oh gosh, I'm so tired of trying. But notice what he says, and you will find something. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw in because of the multitude of fish. Isn't it great how when God tells you to do something and you actually follow it? it brings about something wonderful in your life. I have never not followed God's direction and had something wonderful happen in my life. There have been times I've not followed his direction. Something terrible happened. I mean, I'm just going to be real with you. I'm human. There are some times I'm just like, are you, God, no way, no way. It's like, no, they're going to think I'm insane. But if you follow his directions, you will find something. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, this is John, of course, said to Peter, it is the Lord. And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. Some of the versions say he was naked, but what nakedness to them and us were totally different. Nakedness was down to your underwear, your undergarments. So he had pulled his outer garment off and just stripped down because he was getting ready for, you know, he had been there tolling all night and was expecting something great to happen, so he's working. And he didn't want to get everything all dirty, so he kind of shed his outer coat. But isn't it like us in the world? When we step outside, we start shedding things that God put on us, like that robe of righteousness. I did a sermon many years ago, what are you wearing? What are you putting on every morning when you get up? Are you putting on the armor of God, your robe of righteousness? Are you picking up that filthy rag that you put down when you got salvation? Do be careful when you're out there doing things that you don't sit down something that God gave you. It says, and he plunged into the sea. Do you remember Peter? Peter was the one that walked on the water. He said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come. He walked on the water. But this time Peter plunged into the sea. Maybe he thought, you know, if I drowned, I'll just drown. You know, he's probably feeling pretty bad about himself because he was the one that denied him three times. And as of yet, this had not been rectified or covered, and Christ is there to do that. But he was the one that walked on the water. This time he is plunging in the sea to get to his Lord and Master. It says, but the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits. And I think that's maybe a mile, a little over a mile maybe, dragging the net with fish. Notice they're in a little boat. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus already had it prepared for them. Whether they brought anything to the table or not, he has everything that you need. When he gives you the command to do, to go, to be, whatever it is, it's going to be prepared for you. You got to take the time, though, to stop, listen, and spend time feasting on the word. Man doesn't live by bread alone, right? We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You've got to eat the word. And the bread, you know who the bread was. He says, my body is broken. Take the bread. This is my body. It's broken for you. Eat. Drink. Keep in the presence of God. Always. Always. These are good things for you to understand as fisher of men. You know, when he called them in Mark and Matthew, he says, come with me, I will make you fisher of men. That's what you're called to be, fisher of men. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have caught, because you're important to the table. You matter. What you do is important to him. Did he provide it for you? Yes, he did. But it is important. You are an important piece of the kingdom. Don't ever let the enemy tell you otherwise. He says, bring some of what you caught. Now, as a fisherman of men, we're supposed to bring them to him, right? And bring him to him. How you be a fisherman of men? You stay in the presence of God. You eat the word. And you bring them to Jesus. Teach them the good news. The good news. Jesus is the good news. So let's go on. Simon Peter went up and he dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Come and eat breakfast. They don't know why the number was put in there. Some suspect before they were going to divide them up later and maybe sell them. Sometimes you can read into that. You could read, you know, those numbers may represent a name of God. One thing I looked at. I looked at a hundredfold. When we do things, God always gives us back much more than what we spent, right? A hundredfold. 50 and 3. There, I don't know. You can use what you want in there, but they're for their little boat and their little net, it was a lot of fish. What you do for the kingdom will always produce greatly. You may not even see it on this side. You may not see that seed that was planted by that kind word or that attitude, that correct attitude that you produced in front of somebody that's, you know, when something bad went wrong and you held your tongue or you acted like a Christian and you talk like a Christian. That's a testimony. It's not just your words. It's how you behave is your testimony as well. You will always get back more than what you put in. It's a promise of God. 153. And he tells him, he says, come and eat. Come and dine with me. We used to sing that old song back in the day, come and dine. The master called, come and dine. It's a beautiful song. Look it up. And it says, yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus then came and took the bread and he gave it to them and likewise to the fish. Now, this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Isn't it wonderful? I was reading this story and God was showing me this thing and he spoke to me. I think it was Thursday. I was driving somewhere for lunch and he said, you know, Peter and John and Sonia and Stephen Lyons, Miriam Lyons, you all are fisher of men. Every Christian that I call is a fisher of men. You are called to go out. The Great Commission is in Matthew 28, and we'll read that. It is your calling. If you ever wondered what you're called to do, baby, this is it. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Now Jesus came and spoke to them. Now he is about to ascend, or he is ascending. This is the very last time that they will see him on this earth. He's being taken up in a cloud, and he's telling them, as all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. His last words, the Great Commission. I love the next story that, according the record, it's the restoration of Peter, John 21 and 15. And so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I do. I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Follow me. We are called to be fishers of men. But to do that, we've got to follow him. You've got to be sensitive to the word of the Lord and the guiding and the directing of the Holy Spirit. You got to be bold enough to say what needs to be said and do what needs to be done. And all those things he's already got prepared for you. He has your breakfast laid out for you already. You just have to go in and dine. But when I read the story on Thursday, God said, he said, I was fishing that day. And I'm still fishing today. I loved it. They were out doing their thing. But God was waiting. He was there on the shores. And a lot of times we don't think he's there at the time we need him. We can't feel him. We can't see him. We're just going through the mundane stuff. But he says, I'm always fishing. I'm always fishing. I'm always pursuing you. So that's why the sermon says it's the tale of two fishermen. We are called to be fishermen because he is a fisherman. And he's always fishing. He's always fishing. He's always putting those things out there for you. Guiding you, directing you, feeding you, strengthening you. Sending love to you. It may come in the form of an angel. It may not be a spiritual being, but it may be a brother or sister in Christ. It may be a kind word that you hear on a sermon. It may be something from the page of the Bible that jumps out and just warms your soul. He's always fishing. And because he's always fishing, we should always be fishing. Let's read the words that he told to his disciples when he called them, Matthew 1, or Mark 1. And I'll end with this, verse 16. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, and this is the same place where they were, they changed the name because of a city, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. I'm calling you today, fisher of men and women. Follow me, he says, and I will make you become fishers of men. He doesn't expect you to be it first out of the gate. You're learning and changing and becoming, being saved every day. It's an everyday, every second of the day thing. It's a transformation that doesn't always happen overnight. There are many nights I lay in my bed and the Holy Spirit shows me things in my life on that day that this is what we need to learn from this situation. Wednesday, I said something to one of my coworkers and the Holy Spirit checked me and said, hey, that was not appropriate. I had to go back and apologize. I didn't get an acceptance, but I had to do what the Holy Spirit asked me to do. Whether they accepted my apology or not, that's not on me. I did my part. I did what God told me to do. I'm still fishing, and he's still fishing with me. But the attitude changed, even though I didn't get accept your apology from the person. The attitude changed as the moments went on. So I assume that things were right now, even though I didn't hear it. But follow me. Don't follow man. Don't follow me. Don't follow pastor. Don't follow Miriam. They're great people. They are good people, but they are human. follow the word of God. Listen. That's why it's important for you to pray, but to listen. Have quiet time with Him. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll speak to you all day long. Sometimes you won't hear it. Sometimes you don't. Especially when He's telling you, you got to go fix something you done. Nobody likes doing that. But I wouldn't want it to hinder me from getting into heaven or doing my job as a Christian, would you? I'm casting. I'm always fishing. Sometimes I hit the right spot. Sometimes I don't. It's good to know that He's always fishing for me, too.